I know it's only Monday. Maybe it's the end of the year talking, but I'm already daydreaming about knockoff time when I can cruise home and crash on the couch. But according to recent ABS data, I'm one of the lucky ones who clocks off from one job and gets to go home. So many of you are heading straight to your second or third or fourth jobs. The number of people with two or more jobs has risen steadily since 2020, and new research is revealing the toll it's taking on your well-being. So is this just a sign of the times? We've been hearing the phrase cost of living crisis, cozy lives, for what feels like years now. Are the days where you can just cover your bills with one job over? I'd love to know what this looks like for you. If you're one of the increasing number of people with multiple jobs, are you doing it just to cover your day-to-day expenses, or do you like the extra cash because of savings goals that you've got? Someone who is living this is Leslene, who's a 26-year-old living in Sydney, and one income isn't enough for her to live on. Leslene, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Tegan. Thank you for having me.
When did you realise you were going to need a second job?
Honestly, so back in 2023, when I moved over here to Sydney, I realised by the end of it, I had no savings left, actually. And so that had me thinking, you know, I think I'm going to need to pick up a second job. And so coming that year, I was just kind of looking for more retail work because that's kind of the experience that I had during uni. And then finally started this year, I finally managed to get actually an event staffing role. So I've been doing that on top of, I guess, my 9 to 5.
What's your 9 to 5?
So I'm an auditor. So that's my 9 to 5. And then on top of that, just event stuff.
So, okay, you work in finance, right?
Yes. Like it's essentially accounting and finance.
Oh
yes.
My gosh. It's not the sort of field where you think that you're then needing another job to make ends meet.
No, honestly, not at all. I think kind of like, you know, leaving uni, I was like, surely it's stable. It's a solid job to have. But I think just in general, with the cost of living in Sydney, it's not cutting it, unfortunately.
What do your colleagues say when you reveal this to them?
See, fortunately for a lot of my colleagues and things, especially in my peer group, a lot of them especially the culture here, some stay at, they live at home, but me living at home and I tell them I have to work a second job, they're kind of surprised. They're like, oh, why? And I'm like, guys, I can't afford to live.
That is wild. So can you talk to me about like how you actually balance the two? Because events work is hard work, and the hours are punishing.
Mm-hmm. I think because the events role, it's casual. So I pick up shifts whenever, I guess, there's various different events here in Sydney. But honestly, half of the time, even though sometimes, let's say I work after my 9 to 5, you just kind of force it, you know, you go and you kind of, you're like, by the end of this, I'm going to have this much, which is going to cover this. And so that kind of helps me motivate, I guess, being able to go to work.
Yeah, think of the money. Just think of the money. What about, like, do you feel like, hopefully your boss isn't listening right now, like, do you feel like your main role suffers because you're moonlighting?
A little bit. I think especially in audit, we do tend to do a lot of overtime, especially during our busy seasons. And so it's really difficult sometimes where I know I've got a lot of, I guess, demanding tasks with that work, and then being like, okay, I got to head out by 6 o'clock, 7, just to be able to, you know, start the next role.
Well, also with me is Isaac Coombson, who's a senior research fellow at the University of Queensland Centre for the Business and Economics of Health, basically the lead author on this new study showing the kind of impact that working multiple jobs is having on people's well-being. Isaac, tell me about this research project.
Okay, so thanks for having me on your show, sorry. This research was conducted by a team of researchers in UQ. I work in the Center for the Business and Economics of Health. Then I've got Lauren Ball, I've got Amy Kegard. They work in the Center for Community Health and Wellbeing. We did a study on 22 waves of the HILDA data. And we found that those who moonlight, they tend to report lower levels of subjective wellbeing. And subjective wellbeing is captured by life satisfaction in general. We also found that the negative effect is more pronounced among males, urban residents, and those living in high socioeconomic areas.
That's interesting. Isaac, I just wanted to pick up on that. You mentioned, this is coming from the HILDA surveys. That's the Household Income and Labour Dynamics in Australia surveys that come out. That higher income people, or people who live in high income areas, are feeling this well-being hit harder, which I don't know if I expected that.
Of course, we would probably be expecting that because they live in higher socioeconomic areas and have more income, they would be doing better. But because the bills are also higher in such areas, they then have to go out there, look for more work. And then that tends to affect the quality time they spend with their children. And also they feel more of the time stress.
And men were more likely to be the one that took on multiple jobs if they were in a household with kids, and they also felt this burden more heavily.
Yes. So if you check from research, you would realize that women are more good at multitasking and they take on more activities and are able to quickly switch from one to the other than men would do. So in most cases where men have to now go out there, look for more jobs, switch from one job to the other, it then takes a more toll on their subjective well-being than it does for women who are already doing this better than men do.
Mm. Well, that's a dubious thing to be able to do better. You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking with Isaac Coombson, who's a senior research fellow at the University of Queensland Centre for the Business and Economics of Health. He's the lead author on a new study showing that, yes, a lot of us are moonlighting more and it's taking a toll on our well-being. You're also hearing from Les Lean, who is living this, working two jobs to get by in Sydney. And I'm interested to know from you as well, if you are working multiple jobs, why? Is it because you literally can't make ends meet without it? Or is it to meet savings goals? One person says, for those of us who didn't benefit off generational wealth or have to hustle to be ordered to pay for the ridiculous expenses that creep up, in Sydney, one job really is not enough. It's not a choice, it's a necessity. Adrian says, I run a music school and still work 6 hours a week at another organisation to make sure the bills get paid. Tim says, I'm Generation X, and I thought you listeners might be interested to know that I have never had a permanent job in my entire work career. I've always been casual or contract-based. I'll never forget my first job before I went to university working in a bread factory. The traditional workers, they absolutely hated my generation. They called us blank casuals. Since then, those are the only type of jobs I've ever had, not by choice. Well, I have another Isaac here with me today to talk about this. Dr. Isaac Gross is a senior lecturer in economics at Monash University, a former RBA economist. For clarity, we agreed ahead of time, we're going to call you Zach today. Zach, tell me about the latest ABS data and what it tells us about how many people are in multiple jobs.
Yeah, so the ABS runs a monthly labour force survey where they try and get a sense of how the labour force is tracking. And through that, they can measure how many Australians are working multiple jobs. And their latest numbers report that almost 1 million Australians across the country are working at least two, and some many more than that. And these workers are, you know, predominantly younger, predominantly female, but they're, you know, increasingly larger share of the overall economy. So it's a more and more popular trend.
Have we seen this sort of bounce around in the past? Like when I was looking at the graph, I'm not a real super mathsy stats person, but even I can see that it's tracking upwards and the jumps are getting bigger year to year. Is this something that we've ever seen before?
Yeah, it has been trending higher over the past couple of years. There's actually some interesting research from the Reserve Bank of Australia on this, and they look at data on people's mortgages and how they've been affected by the big run-up in interest rates post-COVID. And they actually show that the households that have the highest levels of debt are the ones that are tending to work much more hours. So there's almost certainly a big mortgage story here where interest rates are going up, mortgage bills are going up, and a lot of households are looking for extra work as a result. So it's, you know, becoming a larger share of the economy, that's for sure. And those higher interest rates are certainly one of the big drivers.
Where's the top end of this? Like there are only 24 hours in a day. Eventually you're going to have to there's a limit to the amount of extra work that a one person can do. Where do we sort of arrive at if cost of living continues to go up and people are needing to work multiple jobs to afford it?
Yeah, well, hopefully the interest rate rises have stopped for now, and indeed we have seen some interest rate cuts in over the past year. So at least one area of the household budget will be hopefully put under less pressure. But ultimately, the increase in number of jobs is in part reflects changes in how we organize the labor force. You know, the rise of the gig economy, for example, it makes it much easier to get a second job, you know, do a little bit of Uber delivering at night or pick up a casual shift here and there. So I don't think we'll ever go back to the days where, you know, people mostly just worked 9 to 5 and there wasn't much extra work beyond that. I think for some people, the extra shift is always going to be worth it. And so that there'll be, you know, there will always be some people holding down multiple jobs. And I don't think we'll ever go back to the good old days where most people worked just one and that was the main way people earned an income.
It's interesting you say that. James in Canberra on the text line says, if a business can't pay a living wage, their business model is unviable. But someone else on the text line says, I don't understand how people on such good salaries can be struggling financially. Last financial year, I earned a total of $49,000 gross. I paid my bills on time. I took an extended overseas holiday. I didn't scrimp on things. I have multiple vehicles, bought a new phone outright. What are people doing with their money? It has to be keeping up with the Joneses or poor money management. Well, Leslie, and you literally work in auditing. Your whole job is knowing where every cent goes. What do you say to that?
I mean, I think, like, for me and my experience, there's just so many, like, unexpected costs and things. For example, like one not unexpected, but student loan debt. I've got that's sitting there and waiting, like needing to be paid as soon as possible. And additional, just, you know, dental bills and things like that. Like I had to get a wisdom tooth done and that was $3,000. So there's just a lot of unexpected costs and things that occur. But in general, like in Sydney, you have your train transport that's $50 a week at least. Rent is expensive in Sydney as well. And so, I mean, it's quite fortunate that, you know, they're able to kind of have multiple cars and be able to pay all their bills on time. But I think for many others, there's just, you know, a lot of costs that kind of go into your day to day.
Yeah, Zach, how much does this sort of vary across Australia in just terms of how much it costs to live?
Yeah, we have seen a big change in living costs around Australia, particularly the cost of housing. You know, places like Sydney, housing is just ridiculously expensive, to use a technical term, and just far higher than it was. It is in other parts of the country, and indeed higher than it was in recent years. So if you live in Sydney, it's unfortunately a really expensive place to live because the price of property feeds into the price of everything else. If rent's expensive, it's going to be expensive to eat out, expensive to go to the shops because they have to pay high rent bills. Other parts of the country, look, I wouldn't say anywhere is cheap, but those living costs are slightly less exorbitant. So if you are, you know, live out in the regions or in other towns like Adelaide, rent isn't quite as bad, and so that extra cost of living pressure won't be quite as sharp.
Isaac Coombson, I want to come back to you because you talked about the people who you surveyed, or the people in the survey were earning extra money. It led to a reduction in their well-being. Did they think it was worth it?
Well, so this is from the HELDA data. We didn't directly survey people for this particular project. But the one where we went to the field talking to people, I mean, some of them said it was worth it because it's helping them increase their household income. It is also helping them to smoothen their consumption over time. I mean, the other side is that it is not everyone who actually goes into moonlighting because they want money. Some others go into it because they want career development. Some want to improve on their human capital. Others for job satisfaction. Mm. So for some, yes, it does. Others, no.
Lisleen, do you feel like the hustle is worth it for you at the moment?
I think definitely. I think I just kind of had that reflection where, you know, I want to be able to, you know, experience, go on trips and pay my student loan off. And so it's definitely been worth it. But I know, like, in the beginning, it was definitely a bit of a challenge, kind of like trying to make time, you know, trying to hang out with my boyfriend and things like that and hang out with friends. And so it definitely does kind of take hits in certain areas of life and things.
On the text line, one person points out that if you have a second job, you get taxed more. How arcane is that? Zach, if you are taking on extra work, is there a tax income benefit where you start your own side hustle business, or do you take an extra job as an employee? Are there any tricks for young players here?
Well, certainly all income is certainly treated equal by the ATO. So in terms of, you know, if you earn the same amount of income over one job or two jobs, it should be the same, at least once the ATO, you know, does your tax return and maybe gives you a squares the ledger and gives you a tax return. So there isn't a direct different treatment of the income you earn by the Australian Tax Office. Having said that, the second jobs are often quite flexible. And so if you're, you know, looking to time your work in, pick up more work when your other job is laying fallow, and so, you know, you'll be able to smooth your income, and that'll have some benefits from a tax perspective, or, you know, shift your work around when your other, you know, expending needs are required, that will have some advantages. So I wouldn't say the tax treatment is different in a, you know, very large way, but it does mean that you have some additional flexibility in terms of when you work and when you get paid.
Oh, well, thank you all so much for sharing your insights this morning, especially Leslene, who's taken time out from not one but two jobs to chat to me. Leslene's working two jobs to get by in Sydney. Isaac Coombson is a senior research fellow at the University of Queensland Centre for the Business and Economics of Health, and Dr. Isaac Gross, who's a senior lecturer in economics at Monash University and a former RBA economist.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.